Momentum swings, Lloydie. It made for a great grand final. Welcome to you.
Thanks, Jared. Beaver, yeah, they feel pretty good about themselves this morning when you wake up and you go, we win our first final by 33 points v Brisbane. I thought it flattered the Lions, that first final, because they missed so many opportunities. Brisbane were a good side going in, made them look second rate. Geelong, you know, they haven't done a lot wrong this year, lost by 83 points, and then you win the grand final by 74 points. It's amazing that you're right. It's an epic game. Have we ever called a 74-point game an epic game? Mm. But it was. When you look back at the history books in 20 years ago, geez, they were belted, the Dogs. But everyone had to go, no. They were up by 19 points halfway through the third quarter, and we saw one of the most amazing 12 minutes of football that the game's ever seen by Melbourne. And when Oliver kicked that goal out of the centre bounce, and Petrarca then dribbles one through, you thought, wow. And that's what I love about this team. Forget about the history. They weren't like that. Yes, I had my doubts maybe 6-7 weeks ago, Jerry, when I was questioning their forward line. Mm. But I haven't had many doubts about them through this final series.
I thought for a long time they were the most talented side that Melbourne had ever put together, and I was saying that last year when they were getting whacked as well. But it's okay to be talented. And it's okay to show promise. You've ultimately got to produce it. And the scary thing is, I think they're only just learning how good they can be.
And I love your point that you said about the wins that they had during the year were similar to that. That's amazing belief, and the belief in the style. And they say Mark Williams went off at halftime talking about they'd got away from the way they looked to play the game and around the centre bounce. Their pressure wasn't where it needed to be in that second quarter. It still didn't happen for them right at the start, but then it clicks back into gear, and it's like you have to beat them over 2 hours. Mm. You got to beat good sides like Richmond. You got to at them and at them for four quarters. Melbourne's that same team, Beaver. You have to beat them over four quarters.
That's what was really of great interest to me. It was like just how poor Melbourne were for 30 minutes. Mm. And then you'd expect them to come out firing after halftime, and yet the Bond had a huge start to the third quarter. The Dogs started to look as if they were about to snatch it away. And the momentum swings in sport. That's why you turn up, because you're just never sure who's going to win, Beaver.
So true. And back to Lloydie's point, Jared, about, you know, the narrative in 20, 30 years' time. Mm. We'll look back at the final series in 20 or 30 years' time. People say, well, apart from the romance of the Demons breaking the drought, was it really such a great final series? Because we had 2 1-point games. Mm. So week one, the Swans and the Giants, and week two, the Bulldogs and the Lions. And the next closest final was that Melbourne-Brisbane week one final of 33 points, which seemed a long 33 points, didn't it? That seemed like a 50 or 60-point margin. Everything else, 35, 43, 49, and then the two prelims and the grand final, where all three games were decided by 70 points plus.
And it's because of the midfield, and they were decided by belting. I think the Dogs' midfield just belted Port Adelaide, didn't they? And then Melbourne's midfield has just destroyed everyone. I thought Neil and Lyons and those guys looked second rate in that game. Selwood, Dangerfield, whoever else was second rate. And then for large portions of this game, they got found. I don't think Libba. I now think of the size of Oliver and Petrarca and Viney to a lesser extent and Brayshaw, that the way you draft players now. So, and even Cripps. So Cripps has got the size, but he hasn't got the explosiveness. Mm. It's the size to match with the explosiveness, Jared, that no one could really handle. And then you got Luke Jackson to throw in the mix as well, which is just scary what he did on grand final day.
Yeah, I was talking to a couple of people today about this issue, Lordy. It's power.
Power, yeah.
You can be an endurance runner like McRae. You can be another endurance runner, although I think he could work on that particular element, but be big like Cripper. But like when you're big and you've got power, that's what all the gun recruiters will be looking for, because the game has shifted. And once again, a big-bodied mid has taken out the number one award. And, I mean, it just emphasised once again that they are the most dominant players in the competition. How many goals did Bailey Fritz have to kick to win the medal? Because he got 6. Did he need to kick 8 to beat
Maybe
Petrarca?
That's what it is. Gary Ablett's 9. I know it was a pretty special 9, but I think that's what it sort of takes at times. I remember Jack Gunston got close when Brian Lake won it. He kicked 4, but a different sort of 4.
Yeah.
Dermot kicked 8 when Hawthorn were thrashed in 85. Mm. I don't think got close.
Jarman got 6 in a win, didn't he?
Yes, when McLeod won.
A bit. Sorry, Viva. No, that's you've had a hard weekend, I know. But
Do you know the other rarity about? So often we talk about in the grand finals the lower profile player who steps up. Like even with Richmond, Dusty won the three North Smiths, but like Jack Graham, you know, with his three goals, you go back over time. Shane Allen, dare I say, Glenn Freeborn in '96 with his 3 second quarter goals, but it was all the stars. It was all the star. I mean, Max Gawn's game, the dominant big man. Stephen May, even with the torn hamstring, blankets, Norton. Bailey Fritsch, this might be the first time ever, I haven't actually checked it. He actually overtook the Coleman medalist with his 6 goals. He's finished 3 goals off winning the league goal kicking. He finished 3 short of Tom Hawkins on 59 majors for the year. Oliver and Petrarca. Now, all the role players still did their jobs, but it was the big 5 or 6 that absolutely played at their ultimate.
We had Oliver on the Sunday Footy Show yesterday, and I spoke about his kicking and how he's always been a handball player, and what a great kick he's become. And straight away he said, "Mark Williams, I think he's behind me, but he just told me you're not a great kick. We need to get your kicking better," and we just went to work on it. I know Mark has probably spent more time than anybody on the art of kicking. I think he's done a degree or some form of course on the art of kicking, but. To a man, it just keeps talking about what Mark has done. So first for Goody to let Mark come in and take over. But I haven't seen a team improve their kicking, Jared, in the space of 12 months like Melbourne have. They used to...
Langdon's a classic coach.
They used to just hack the ball inside forward 50 and waste all their opportunities, whereas their turnaround in kicking has been phenomenal.
Need to take a break.